This is a HeadGum Original.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
I've been down here too long. It's time for me to ascend.
From the sewers of Gotham, a new villain emerges.
You didn't invite me, so I crashed!
From the rooftops of Gotham, the perfect enemy comes to life.
I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
Yeah.
And the only one who can save this city is a creature of the night.
Hey, Stud. I thought we had something together.
We do.
While she craves a romance she can sink her claws into,
you're catnip to a girl like me.
He plots a foul reign of destruction.
My dear penguins! Thanks to Batman, the time has come to punish all of Gotham!
Above Gotham looms its greatest hero.
Forgot what we were doing.
No, well,
that was really good, actually.
I think so, too. I practiced a little bit in the shower.
It was honestly so good that it threw me, and then I forgot that I was supposed to say a different thing at the end. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really good.
I tried.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole Byer.
And this season of Newcomers, we are covering the Batman movies.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
These movies are exhausting. This is the third episode of our sixth season. I can't believe
it
I've watched...
Six seasons?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of garbage.
Yeah, we really... It's all things we avoided our entire lives. So it's pretty crazy.
For a good reason.
I know.
So we're working our way through the Batman universe. We're going to have fellow newcomers, super fans, maybe people who've contributed.
And this season will be 14 episodes, culminating in a very exciting live stream episode.
So exciting.
I'm scared. We'll cover as much as we can get to get an overview of the franchise. Obviously, we're not going to get to everything because Batman is a very deep world.
Dense.
It goes on and on.
Yeah.
But today we'll be discussing the second Tim Burton Batman movie, Batman Returns, starring Michael Keaton yet again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the music was by Danny Elfman. And the one before, it was by Prince. Weird fucking choice.
I know. I like Tim Burton so much that it does a lot for me in these movies.
I'm not a Burton head.
Interesting.
So maybe that's why I wasn't feeling these movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, Batman Returns. We'll get into it.
Don't worry. We'll dissect.
We're gonna get into the nitty gritty. So Batman Returns is available with a subscription to Max, Hulu, Prime Video. You can watch it for a fee on Apple TV Plus. Don't know why you'd do that, or Google Play, or Vudu. We're going to spoil it. So either watch it or don't.
Yeah,
don't
I mean, you might. I think there are people out there who listen to this show who don't want to watch the thing and want to know what happens. There's definitely a world where that's a thing.
Which is very funny.
I've
always wanted to watch it, but I'd rather listen to people
talk about it. Like, my boyfriend's obsessed and I don't care, but I want to know what's going on. That feels like the world.
So we're doing a service to ladies everywhere.
We are.
Some gentlemen who aren't as nerdy. And some non-binary people who don't want to be
in it. Literally everybody loves our show. So we're so excited for our guest today. Karen Hahn is a culture writer and screenwriter whose work has appeared in outlets such as the New York Times, ever heard of it, Vanity Fair, The Atlantic, and New York Magazine. And she is the author of the book Bong Joon-ho, Dissident Cinema. Welcome back, Karen. Yay, we're so glad you're here.
So
we're going to talk about Batman Returns.
Thank you so much. I was so excited to get this metaphorical call to come back. Yes. This
oh my God. Okay, so what is your relationship to the character of Batman or to DC Comics in general?
I would say I like Batman a lot. Of the DC characters, I feel like he's my favorite, mostly because the villains are so good, which I feel like we'll probably talk about in this episode.
Can you just throw out some DC characters?
I was just thinking that. I was like, I only know of Batman.
I'm like, I think I like DC more than Marvel after getting into this.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Listen,
but I don't.
Who else?
Superman?
Superman's the big one. Yes, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, The Flash are the big ones.
Aquaman.
Green Lantern.
No, see, I famously always thought Aquaman was only from Entourage.
That's fair.
He goes to star in that movie, and I was like, they made up a fake superhero
for Entourage. I didn't watch Entourage, but I did watch Aquaman on a plane, and there was an octopus playing the drums.
Yeah.
And I laughed really hard.
That was terrific.
I've never seen it, so I don't know, but I do know.
I can't tell you a single thing else that happens in the movie.
Yeah. I've seen Entourage 3 times.
So really? That's impressive.
That's probably my most toxic trait.
Did I tell you I was on a plane with Jeremy Piven, and he screamed at a flight attendant?
No.
What? The flight attendant said, would you like water? And he said, I'll let you know what I want. And I was like, ooh,
I'll let you know what I want.
It was wild. It was American Airlines.
Well, we went to the same high school, different years.
I'm sure he yelled at a teacher or two.
Okay, so you love Batman, but let's talk about
Spider-Man. No, I'm kidding.
Let's talk about this movie really quickly before we really get into it. Is this a movie that you care about, you've loved?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I like it a lot. I love this movie. I love the Tim Burton Batman movies in general. I love the Batman movies in general, I guess. But this one, I'm like, I do think it's just objectively good.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like, it's a good Batman movie or it's a good superhero movie. I do think it's a good movie, which I feel like is going to be controversial. But
I'm so excited because I feel like I have no idea what's to come.
Me either.
And so I guess we're kind of watching it like people in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's coming out in theaters next?
Like, we're literally like, this is the first image of Batman that we have.
Yeah.
And I mean, I personally really enjoyed it. I really like Michael Keaton. I really like Tim Burton. So I feel like it is a combination of a lot of things I enjoy. And I think the Tim Burton stylistic choices make me really happy and like feel like cozy and like I'm watching a solid movie, like Edward Scissorhands.
I did like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only Tim Burton movie that I've been like, yummy.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Burton head.
Yeah, I was going to ask coming into this, like, what... We've covered the Burton angle now, but like, do you like Michael Keaton? Do you like...
I love him.
Yeah.
But I also am kind of like, what do I love him from? I'm like, I guess it's like Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I can't name a ton of movies.
Can I name a single one? Because I've never seen Beetlejuice.
Right. You've never seen Beetlejuice? That's
but
a fun one.
I know Michael Keaton.
Right.
Yeah.
What do I know him from?
Mr. Mom?
No.
Mr. Mom. Yeah.
Wait, what other movies has Michael Keaton been in?
Well, I just heard about a good one today called Night Shift that's supposed to be really fun.
Never seen that.
Never seen it.
He was in Spotlight, which
won all those Oscars.
Birdman.
Birdman. Oh, I've seen Birdman.
I was going to say Birdman a second ago, but I went, or am I just thinking that because he's Batman?
From Batman to Birdman. That's a weird evolution.
Yeah. That's his life.
That's so funny. I guess I know him from one movie.
I know. Well, I actually learned today that he was a stand-up first.
He was a stand-up?
Yes. So
I don't know Michael Keaton at all.
No, and I also learned from someone that people were upset that he was Batman before they saw him in it.
They did not.
Really?
Like
yeah.
But this is before fan campaigns could change casting.
Yeah. Oh, people would
have
changed.
They, like, wrote in about it.
Oh,
but
my
God.
But it's too late. No one cares.
Wait, did Tim Burton only do 2 Batmans?
Yes.
Oh, I see. So we're done with the Tim Burton universe.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, well, I'm sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait to see what you guys think of the two that follow this one. So
what are they?
It's Batman Forever.
Batman Forever, I know about, but I don't. Yeah. I've never.
You
seen
like
it.
The soundtrack?
I like the soundtrack. Okay, yeah.
That's. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Best part or
best part? Yeah. The music.
I have no idea what happens in those. I know that the man from a CSI. Chris yes. something?
O'Donnell?
Chris
Donald?
O'Donnell?
Something like that?
He's in one, and Alicia yeah. Silverstone's in
yeah.
another.
Yeah.
And I loved her, and I loved yeah. him, and I said, I shan't see it.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
shan't
exactly.
see it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of everyone involved, and I won't be watching.
Yeah. Can't do it.
Can't do it. All right, well, let's jump to a quick break, and we are going to come back with the entire plot of Batman Returns, and I can't wait for you to hear it, everyone out there.
Remember in 2018 when Border Control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Okay, we're back. So Batman Returns was released June 19th, 1992.
It just
came out. I'm truly looking at this and I was like, yeah. That's not a real year.
Yeah.
Written by Daniel Waters, directed by Tim Burton.
Okay, so thank you to the Batman fandom wiki for help with this summary.
Oh, that's kind.
I know Anya had to really narrow it down.
So much happens.
It's a long film.
Yes.
I laid down to watch it last night, and then I was like, let me go on my phone first because I'm really actively not going on my phone mm-hmm. while I watch.
Yes.
And then that was 40 minutes, and then...
yeah.
I literally pressed play and I was like, it's 2 hours? And then I'm like, that would be up so late. Like, I just was like, I just screwed myself over with this.
I did the same thing.
Oh my God.
I was like, phone time first, because yeah. I'm going to... John Millheiser was like, I need you to pay attention to one of my favorite
movies. Mike literally was like, you can't be on your phone when you watch the movies. And I was like, I know. And he's like, no, really. And I was like, I already thought about how I'm not going to. He's like, yeah, right. I was like, no, I really thought about it. Like, I was like, it's my plan.
It's what I'm going to do. Look at it.
But you, I want to. Mm-hmm. But the second I do, it's like, I've missed.
I'm gone. I'm now in an Instagram hole.
Yeah.
But then I started it again with, like you, I was like, this is too damn long.
Yeah.
So then I started it again this morning at 8 a.m.
Ooh.
And I did not finish it until about 11:30.
Okay, can I say that's not helping you like it?
That's fair.
I kept falling asleep.
On both sides, yes, morning and night.
And morning and night, I kept falling asleep. I passed out during the other one. I was just like, oh, I can't get enough sleep. I guess if I want to sleep, I'll put on Batman.
Wait, here's another question, though, to get into this. What did you guys think of Batman? So are you on a high note coming into this movie? Or
yeah. I mean, I'm pretty okay at this point because I liked the previous one enough. And I'm more familiar with this one. I had definitely seen it as a kid. But, like, so I was kind of like, I like Catwoman. Like, I was kind of like, I think this will be good. I'm coming into it kind of, like, not dreading it. Like, I felt pretty excited
that's
to watch
good.
It.
Yeah.
I came in hot with anger that I needed to watch this.
That's fair.
I didn't like the first one, really.
Mm-hmm.
There was just things I didn't like. So I was like, this is going to be terrible for me. But I did like the beginning.
Yeah.
That was fun for me.
Yeah.
The little basket.
Paul Rubens. Yeah.
That was Paul Rubens?
Yeah.
Wow. She doesn't recognize any. Here's what I recognize in this movie. At the end, the man from the train in the movie Ghost has a very big part
in
this movie.
He has a really fun.
And I was like, oh my God, get off my train.
A really fun part. You've probably seen that movie 100 times.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby. To the point
where
he flashed on screen. I was like, my friend.
I actually was like jealous of his part because he had that like thing with like the machine gun coming out of it. And I was like, this is a cool part.
Yes.
Like he got to like be cool.
They don't have character actors the way they used to.
It's not the same.
It
and
sucks.
It's not fair. This is why I love this though. Because I was like, I want to be in this. This is like a really fun. Everyone gets to do something weird.
Yes.
Everyone's got a fun costume. You could say or do anything and it like works. It's like, it's really cool.
I will say thematically, I did enjoy it. I really did like the costumes. And then like watching the credits, it was like some people had personal costumers and personal makeup artists.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I love that. You accommodated somebody with the way they wanted to look with the people who they worked best with.
Yeah.
And I thought that this film had a lot of collaboration, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
And Catwoman, I guess, okay, I really liked Catwoman and I really liked Danny DeVito. Give them a spinoff.
They're both amazing.
They were really great.
They're amazing. And the costumes are so, I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer, she looks so beautiful when she's a nerd and when she's the Catwoman. Yeah. I was like, it's not fair. You can't be both.
But then I was confused because I was like, what happened to other glasses lady? Who's also a blonde.
You mean Kim Basinger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I wondered that too because they referenced her a little bit, but then I was like, they broke up, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, he's down for whatever. It wasn't that long with her. I don't know.
I feel like the implication is like he told her, she figured out that he's Batman and then was like, actually, no. Thanks.
Yeah, like it's like the mystery's
gone. It didn't work
out.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But they always figure out that it's him.
Yeah. Yeah. But like maybe that's what it is. He's like, once people figure out who I am, really.
We got to talk about when he reveals it. We'll get there.
Oh, when he ripped off his mask and you could see the rip marks. I was like, this is not durable.
You're wasting up several questions.
Like, how many of those do you have?
Well, we saw it when he picked out.
He has like four.
He had a bunch. And I was like, what denotes the one to wear today?
Yeah. And can you stop ripping them off to reveal your head?
Also, how much do these cost?
Or do you have to rip to get out of it in general?
Oh, my God. Imagine they're all tearaways and he has to like.
He's wasting
every
them.
Day.
And Winston, or whatever his name is.
Also, on top of it, on top of it not being durable and ripping it off, Catwoman's little makeshift claw really got at him. And I was like,
so you could take a bullet? Slice through that fucking thing.
Wild.
Like foam.
I know. Yeah. We got to just tell everyone what happens because we're jumping ahead. So we're really starting at the beginning. So after seeing their son kill their pet cat, Tucker and Esther Cobblepot, which
not
is
just
Paul
kill,
Rubens.
Snatch the cat into its jail crib and ate it?
Yeah.
Also, it's like, you've already set up your child for this.
Right.
Like, you put him in a little cage. Like,
this. Yeah, because it had
which
weird
which came first,
claws?
The eating the cat or being locked in a cage? Like, I'd eat a cat if I got locked in a cage for long enough.
Exactly.
So they're an aristocratic couple. They throw him into the river. And we later learn that a flock of penguins living in the sewers underneath Gotham City rescued him and raises him. 33 years later, the child becomes the criminal penguin Danny DeVito.
One, not 33, okay? 33. Unless penguin the penguins are living rough, yeah. You are not 33 years
his
old.
His ass is his back.
It truly is.
His knees are his chest. It's like
he looks like a sack of potatoes.
He's the weirdest guy.
It's the funniest time skip possible because they're like 33 years later. Why? And Danny DeVito is like in his late 40s. When
yes. Why is it
33? Just say 40 years later.
That's what happens when you live in the sewer.
Or like many years later. Or
but
something.
Also, I was like, these penguins changed a diaper? These penguins sewed some clothes? Like,
well,
what?
I don't think he had a clean diaper. I feel like that's a lot of his anger is that he like didn't. His teeth are black and
they are
maybe the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. His whole thing, then I was like, because we talked about fucking the previous penguin in 1966.
Yes.
Rather fuck that one.
I would rather fuck that one. I could not fuck Danny DeVito looking like that.
It would be so scary.
That's not to say I would not fuck Danny DeVito because out of the makeup, I would.
Yeah, he's an attractive man.
Very attractive. Man, very charming. So
next. We all agree.
We love Danny DeVito.
Oh, okay.
Danny,
it goes Brad Pitt, Danny DeVito.
Next we meet Max Schreck. Christopher Walken, a corrupt businessman.
Amazing cast.
Who is proposing a power plant project to Gotham's mayor, who rejects the idea. We also meet the timid and frazzled Selina Kyle, Michelle Pfeiffer, his secretary, who tries to interject with a proposal, but then gets rebuffed. Max and the mayor then speak at the Gotham Christmas tree lighting. And I was like, is this a Christmas movie?
I was like, this is a Christmas movie. This can be on every Christmas. Movie? Christmas is the whole time. Yes. It's
Christmas is the whole time.
It's completely lit.
Which gets
literally
completely
with lights.
Lit. Yeah.
I literally meant lights.
It's completely lit. Which gets interrupted by the appearance of a giant fake Christmas tree revealing a gang of criminals dressed as clowns and skeletons who shoot at the crowd.
Okay, don't we love them?
They are very fun.
They were really fun. I liked that theme for them. And then I also liked, my question was, the skeletons with the big head, is that their head or is that a mask?
Oh.
Because then they'd get like hit and they'd be like spinning around. And I'm like, is that its head?
I think it might have been a mask.
Gotta be a mask.
Yeah.
Right?
I like the idea of those being like just freaks out
just
there.
Just freaks with like weird heads.
But they like planned for being hit with the mask. Like, okay, if we get smacked, the eyes have to do like, yeah.
Let's see. The police turn on the bat signal and Batman Michael Keaton races to the scene. I gotta say, the way Batman flies and lands is so stupid.
With his zipline?
Just the way he lands with his little feet together and his like arms out, and then the cape is so big. I'm like, is truly.
But his car. Okay.
Yes.
The car is beautiful.
It was reminding me of those 90s pencil cases where like the like things would pop out because he was like getting every guy with like a piece of it.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that just took me back.
Okay, one of the clowns tries to take Selina hostage, but Batman saves her and also asks her weight. Wait, is that the first movie?
Dude, both movies did that. Both movies did that. The previous one that we already watched is like, he's like, how much do you weigh? And she's like, 108. And then he takes
and
her
and
he's like,
I actually was like, you aren't 108.
I didn't think so either. And then he's like, you really weren't 108. And I was
and
like,
I was
this
like,
is
wow.
Really weird. And then in this one, she's like, they think Catwoman weighs 140. And I was like, why is that the thing?
It's weird. It's they're already beautiful blonde women. Yeah. Let them live.
It has nothing to... Oh, it's just so annoying.
And she's like so skinny.
And I know.
Point are you trying
and
to
and it was just weird because it wasn't like the point he was making. They were like saying that Batman kept messing up or something. I was like, it should be something kind of comparable for her with the news. Like, it shouldn't be that they said she was 140 pounds. I don't think they would even say that.
No,
that's an interesting news report.
Yeah.
It's like, they guessed
Catwoman,
her weight.
I don't, maybe
new
at
villain,
that time.
140 pounds.
I can't.
Ugh, it sucks. Anyway.
I know. It's so weird. The criminals kidnap Schreck, which I just like that it was Schreck.
It is funny that his name is
add
Schreck.
Add a nice leer. And we see that they were sent by the Penguin. Penguin blackmails Schreck with evidence of his corporate crimes into helping him become a citizen of Gotham. Meanwhile, Max finds out that Selina has found out about Max's plans to build a power plant, which will drain Gotham City of its electricity.
Which is like, what?
I know, and I was really confused by that scene because she's like, I'm just working late. And then
I guess your password
pulling
is the name
your
of your
files.
Dog.
And then she's like, and it looks like you have this horrible plan that I respect. And then I just didn't get why. I mean, it's all the origin story of her becoming Catwoman, but I just didn't see how we got there exactly.
Same.
But whatever. So Max tries to get rid of her by pushing her out of a window, which
this was violent.
I was shocked by that.
Violent.
He they're having an a sort of, what's the word?
Like an intimate conversation where he like looks like he might lean in and kiss her.
And then he's also being really mean. And then he laughs. Yeah. And then he pushes her when she's like got her defenses down.
Yes.
And it's actually pretty crazy. She falls very far.
So
through
far.
The Shrek mascot is a big cat, which I thought was really cute and fun. And I wish more things were like that. Where like it was just like stores that had like, I wish like Sears had like a big fun mascot, you know? Sears would. I don't think it exists anymore.
I think it does in some okay. places, maybe like Minnesota. Let's go to Sears and then the Applebee's.
And Kohl's.
Ankles.
So he pushes her out the window, but she lands on the ground. She clearly would have been dead, but she has no blood at all. And then a flock of alley cats lick her corpse, reviving
Gross.
Her. She returns home. I love her apartment.
Yeah. Me too.
And I love her whole little like quirkiness in her apartment.
Yes.
And she gets home and she has her little like phrase where she's like, hi, honey, I'm home. Oh, I forgot. I'm not married.
I'm married.
And she's cute. And she's kind of like dazed and crazed. And she becomes triggered by a telemarketer ad for perfume manufactured by one of Shrek's subsidiaries and wrecks her apartment, which was a really fun scene.
Yeah.
And she then goes in her closet and makes a cat suit out of black vinyl, becoming Catwoman. And she is maybe the hottest person ever.
She's so hot, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's
she's
nuts.
So hot. I also really liked that she pulls out this trench coat and then starts sewing it, and you see the thread is white.
Yeah.
So, like, it then makes sense later.
I know. It was so cool.
I really, really liked it. Okay.
And she knocks out. She has, like, a neon sign.
Oh, a neon sign. Yes. Hello there. The sign is iconic.
Hell here. Oh, Lauren.
I was
wow.
like, how'd they come up with that?
I was like, I think it was really collaborative.
Yeah.
I think Tim Burton was like, oh, I'll hear an idea. And whatever set dresser or... a set designer was like, this. And he was like, yes.
Does she say hello there or ever?
I don't think so.
Because I didn't know if that was like her phrase or something. No.
No, right? I think so it was just random. Like a cute neon sign in her apartment.
I liked it.
I also loved the head-to-toe, like, rose gold pink.
Everything
was just,
really
I loved it. Meanwhile, Shrek arranges for the penguin to rescue the mayor's infant child from his own gang members to integrate penguin with Gotham citizens. The plan works, which is so wild. And penguin becomes a hero to all except Bruce Wayne, who remains skeptical.
It's like so easy for him to become a hero.
Gotham citizens are dumb.
I'm like, he's clearly Pennywise adjacent. Like,
yeah, he climbs out of a sewer.
Like, he's disgusting.
Yeah, his teeth are sharp and black.
And like bleeding
but he saved
black.
A baby. What's the
but
problem?
The baby thing, that thing was so weird. So like, they took the baby from the woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah. Oh. And like, I'm like, okay, that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Just a joker just took it down into the sewer. And then it comes up in the arms of the most vile creature. And she's like, huh. I was like watching the woman. She's like, yay.
The dialogue does so much work where the clown's like, oh no, the penguin, don't hurt me. Here's the baby. And then the penguin comes up and it's like, okay,
yeah.
I see.
It's funny that he doesn't try to class himself up.
Yeah.
No, he never brushes his teeth, brushes his hair.
Brush your hair, your teeth.
Can we get a braid?
I mean, I'm jumping ahead
a little concealer.
The entire scene where Max Shrek has set up his campaign and then like brings him down as a surprise, and he's still wearing that onesie, and it's like you wouldn't tell him to change like at all.
He has like a dirty ass. Like, it's like so gross.
And it's like, why white? White gets dirty so
I know.
Fast.
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
Penguins are black.
I think he has one outfit. I think that's it.
Yeah.
And the penguins, now, do we think those were people inside there, or were they?
There's some, I believe it's some animatronics, some people, and some real ones.
Whoa!
Okay, the scene when we see his lair initially, and then there's like penguins like diving all around. It looks so cool.
Yeah. I guess those are real.
Yeah.
Apparently, the penguins had a great time on the movie because by the time the movie ended, they'd had a bunch of babies, which is like a sign that they're happy.
Oh, so cute.
How wild. They were like, we love our leader, Danny DeVito.
They want to stay there. They got put back in the wild. They're like, no.
Where's Danny? Where's my dad?
Penguin. So Bruce goes to see Shrek, and I do picture Donkey like every time I
somebody
see Shrek.
Yeah.
So he goes to talk about the power plant proposal and the penguins gang, and their conversation is interrupted by Selena, who has a whole new disposition and haircut, and both men are clearly taken aback by her. Bruce seems smitten, and Shrek is obviously surprised she's still alive.
And I love that Bruce is immediately like, this lady seems a little unhinged.
Yeah.
I'm into
Yeah, I know.
It.
He yeah. loves it.
It's like borderline wild. The wolf.
Yeah. Yes. Like, yeah. And also, can we talk about Shrek's son?
He's so great.
He's just like doing a Christopher Wait. Walken impression.
Yeah, Wait, yeah.
Like the tall son? Blonde guy who at the beginning is like, Dad, run for your life. I can't yes. take this role.
Dad, run
that
for your life.
That choice is so perfect. To cast someone who looks like a bodybuilder and then he sounds like that. Yeah. Like, it's amazing.
I know. It's so funny.
Putting on a melodramatic show for the press in a cemetery, Penguin publicly forgives his parents, reveals that his name is actually Oswald Cobblepot. That made me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
And wins more hearts and minds, becoming a media sensation. I was like, truly, these people are idiots.
Yeah.
Shrek decides to use Oswald's fame to his own advantage, persuading him to run for mayor, which is insane, to remove the final obstacle to building a new power plant.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just keep going here for a second. So, as part of his election campaign, Penguin sends his Red Triangle Circus gang to start a riot. Like, why is Penguin's gang clowns? Why? Is that a thing from the, like, do you know?
Not really. It's not really a thing. I believe they made up some stuff for this movie.
And
the idea is that they met at some indeterminate point prior to the movie happening and get along.
Okay. I thought it worked because it was just chaotic enough for me to feel unmoored.
I just wish it was more like duck bird-like things. Like that duck thing he wrote. Oh, I screamed. I love a duck.
The rubber duck. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you went to that rubber duck store in Amsterdam?
Oh.
I was jealous of that.
I cried.
Oh my God.
There were so many ducks.
Oh my God.
And I love ducks.
Did you get a bunch?
I got so many that when I flew out of the Amsterdam airport, they flagged my bag, took them out one by one, and laughed at me.
No.
Because I had a Sonic duck.
It looks like you're running a carnival game. You had a Sonic duck?
I got a
That's
Sonic
amazing.
Duck, a Cher duck with a dress by Bob Quacky. If I could turn quack time.
Oh, oh my God.
Screamed.
Oh, do you put God. Them in the tub?
No.
Okay.
Those are collector's items.
They're
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm leaving Cher duck in her box.
Cher duck.
Wait, I did not know this about you. Very quickly, is it just rubber ducks or is it like just duck in general?
Boy, I love a beautiful duck.
Okay.
Like,
I feel like you're alone
ones.
In that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fully alone.
Like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone be like, I love ducks.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Yeah. I like it that you like it.
A beach duck, a pink duck. I call every bird a duck. A flamingo's a
oh,
pink duck.
Okay, so it's
a beach
okay.
duck.
Really
is a
wide
seagull.
Range.
I just yeah. love a
anything
bird.
Anything that flies.
Anything that flies has yeah. a wing. They get to be free.
But not bats?
Bats aren't ducks.
Like, the classification
That's
of it flies
the
and has wings.
Sentence. You are right. You are fully right. And I responded with something wild and dumb. Bats aren't ducks.
But no, you're right.
I mean,
they're ducks, but bats aren't ducks.
And this is where we learn I'm insane.
No, I mean, everything I've said so far is horrible. So let's see. Where did I leave off? So
the last
okay.
they're prepping
paragraph.
For his campaign.
Okay. Oh, the last. Okay, so they're okay. So he's okay. Batman tries to fight the gang to regain order, pulling out a batarang to attack a bunch of the criminals at once. What's a batarang?
I forget. Oh, it's the yeah. thing. It's the frisbee that the dog
oh,
catches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, Catwoman uses the chaos to vandalize Shrek's department store to get her revenge on Shrek. Outside the store, Batman and Penguin confront one another, but soon Catwoman sidles up and the department store explodes behind her. Penguin escapes by flying off on his umbrella, which he has a bunch
yeah,
of those.
What I liked is that Batman full stops and watches him go.
Uh-huh,
and I'm like,
yeah.
I would also
be like,
not
wow.
rush to my next
yeah,
appointment.
And yeah. I do wonder, like, you're kind of wondering if he's going to slip off. And,
yeah.
Like, it's just
is his strength
splat.
Like that good?
Yeah. yeah. So he leaves Catwoman and Batman to fight it out. And Catwoman sticks her claws into Batman's stomach. And he pushes her off a rooftop. But a truck carrying kitty litter saves her fall. Now, do you
Listen,
feel like...
That's not how you transport kitty litter. And I know
Well,
it.
No. I mean,
okay.
But does that scene to me was like, that was really imprinted in my mind from childhood. I don't know.
Or if, the fall?
Yeah, the kitty litter yeah. thing where she's like, I don't know what.
Saved
she,
by some kitty
yeah,
litter.
Say, yeah. Yeah. But I feel like that played a lot in my life or something. I don't know.
I
no
never,
one relates, so it's
no,
clearly
no,
my
it's
own.
Not quite,
yeah.
I,
yeah, it's fine.
I like that scene because she was like on the floor and she's like, "You're hitting a woman," and
it
he's like, "Oh, sorry."
Yeah.
And then she's
that.
Like, "Yeah,"
I
was
love
like,
that.
He so quickly is like,
yes.
"You're totally right,"
yeah. which is so wild. I'm like, "This woman's trying to kill you."
Yeah.
And then I did like her like damaging the stuff in the store with her little whip.
Yeah, and we were talking beforehand about how there's that you can watch that scene online mm-hmm. of her like nailing that shot where
yeah.
she just hits every single mannequin head off. I'm like, that must have felt amazing.
Yeah.
Just, like, you practice cool. your whip work and then you like nail it and get all of them in one. Ugh.
She's perfect.
She's so perfect. If only I could do that. The next day, Penguin and Catwoman collaborate on a plan to frame Batman as a criminal rather than kill him. Meanwhile, Bruce and Selina run into each other on the street and they begin a romantic relationship.
I always love in these things how people don't recognize each other.
It's dumb. Mm-hmm.
The mouths on these people. Also, one thing I've always known is, like, if you're ever attacked by somebody, you're supposed to look at their chin, because in a lineup, you would be able to remember that more than, like, the general face. Like, if you, like, focused on, like, the lower part of the face and just tried to memorize that while it was happening, if you were unable to get away. That. Yeah. I don't know why that's probably from Oprah or something, but anyway. So I always think, I'm like, you don't recognize that chin? I'm like, you've been staring at that chin. It's all you can see on him.
I agree. You know? I recognize so many people, like, wearing a mask from, like, behind.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that my friend?
I know. Like, when you see someone in the grocery store with a mask on.
I'm like, that's my friend. Or a person I met one time.
Right. Ooh.
I don't know. Okay, so at the same time, Penguin kidnaps Ice Princess, an actress chosen to turn on Gotham City's Christmas tree lights. That part, I was like, that would definitely be played by, what is her name? She did the new Charlie's Angels movie. She's in the Hunger Games. She's a blonde lady.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah. I was like, she looks like Elizabeth Banks.
Oh my God.
Play
totally.
That part
yeah.
Earlier in her career, if it was made earlier in her career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. The news of Ice Princess. I wonder if that's where Ice Spice got her name. Anyway, kidnapping interrupts Bruce and Selina's date. They both sneak off to deal with the situation. Though Batman finds Ice Princess, Catwoman intercepts, leading her to a rooftop where Penguin coaxes her to fall to her death. To the public, her death seems like Batman's fault. But Penguin and Catwoman's alliance falls apart when Catwoman rebuffs Penguin's sexual advantage. I just, like, why wouldn't she sleep with him?
Oh,
just kidding.
I mean, that scene was so gross.
He's the horniest character.
He's so horny.
He just got out of the
like,
sewer.
Why don't we live together and then I'll come home and I'll say hi, honey. And you'll,
Think about this. You lived in a sewer for 33 of the hardest years of anyone's life.
Yeah.
You finally get above ground and you're like, whoa. There's more than just penguins and clowns.
Yeah.
There's beautiful women. I would try my hardest to get one.
What do you think, like, I mean, Penguin's only seen penguins, really, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So does he
and
know,
clowns,
like, what to, like, sexually be attracted to?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think so. I think...
It's just innate.
Yeah. Like, he was, like, an awakening. He's like, oh, I want a woman.
Yeah.
And not Marissa the Penguin.
Laying on the bed so seductively. But that's just her vibe.
That's true.
So he wants to kill her. And then in the Batmobile, Batman realizes that Penguin's gang has installed a device in the vehicle that gives Penguin control of the car.
This I enjoyed this.
Is scary. He's like on the TV like,
oh, it was great. He was like moving around.
In the little car.
He was bouncing around in a way that made me laugh. So hard.
Think about being in that costume. Like, Danny DeVito had the world as his playground. Like, anything he did would be, like, scary, funny, everything. Like, it's amazing prosthetics, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they did a really great job. Yeah.
Ugh, it would be so cool. So, okay, then during Penguin's election rally, Bruce plays a recording of Penguin insulting the people of Gotham, which turns the public against him. Enraged.
This is somewhat different post-Trump election.
Like, yeah, it wasn't enough. They kept playing the same line over and over. I was like, doesn't it get worse?
Right. He says a lot more?
Once again, like, what's the problem?
Yeah, he's like, those dumb people. I was like, and he said more after that.
Yeah.
They were like,
they're like, we're dumb?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So he's enraged and he flees into the sewers, renouncing humanity, his humanity. And he reveals his secret plan. Kidnap and kill the firstborn sons of Gotham's most prominent citizens by drowning them in the toxic waste from Shrek's plant as revenge against what was done to him. Now, I felt like...
Weird plan.
New plot entirely.
Yes.
Being brought in kind of late.
Yes.
Like, now he's after the firstborn. I was like, didn't you have a whole thing you were just doing? And then I felt that that was more with the second hour is really coming into play.
I felt like a lot of the villainous plans were just arbitrary.
Yeah.
I was like, how is this getting back to... I guess... It's toxic waste and it's Shrek's plant, but I'm like, oh, I got to connect those dots.
No.
I feel like it's sort of getting back at Gotham because they said, we don't want you, you're gross. And he's like, oh,
I'll show you gross.
Yeah, you didn't want me because I was gross. And so now I'm going to do that to you.
Okay.
We have so much more of this. Meanwhile, Selina attends a ball hosted by Shrek, intending to kill him. While dancing with Bruce, however, the two realize the other's secret identity.
Yeah. Only from the lines... that they said. They repeat lines they said already where, what is it, like a kiss can be deadly,
like
only
like
if
that.
It's something, something. And then they reverse the lines and then it's like, wait.
Like, what?
You said what I said. I said what you said.
I'm a bat.
You must
You're
a be cat. A bit. Yeah.
Meow. Before they could do, before they could do anything about it, Penguin storms the hall demanding to take Shrek's son, Chip. Shrek proceeds.
Sweet Chip.
Chip Shrek?
Chip Shrek.
Shipwreck.
Shrek persuades Penguin to take him instead, and Bruce and Selena take off.
Now, I think at this point, I'm thinking power couple. You guys should be together. Just do it.
Why not?
So Bruce, now as Batman, attacks Penguin's Red Triangle Circus goons and puts a stop to the kidnappings. However, Penguin has a backup plan. An army of rocket-armed penguins dispatched to bomb Gotham Plaza.
He's thought about this, like, stunningly far
ahead. Yeah. He's like, if that one doesn't work, then I'll do this. But Batman manages to jam their control signals and turn the birds around so that they attack the base instead.
Sad.
Batman confronts the penguin before he can escape, swarming him with a flock of bats, which causes him to fall through a skylight into toxic waste.
Horrible. There's a lot of toxic waste in Gotham City that I think somebody's got to clean up.
The city itself is so dingy and like bad looking.
Yes.
Like you sort of think it's like New York. Like, I don't know, I guess I sort of like it's like New York when you see the skyline. But then when you're in any street, it's like the dirtiest, worst. Like it looks really bad.
Well, I think Jack Nicholson says in the first one, he's like, decent people don't live in Gotham. And I was like, well, why not?
Yeah.
Why can't nice people live here and clean it up?
And why do bad people want to live by each other?
I don't know, so they could do bad together. Batman glides through the broken skylight and discovers Catwoman has come to kill Shrek. He tries, with little luck, to talk her out of it. He wants Shrek to face justice with the police. During this, Shrek draws a gun he took in the confusion and attempts to kill them both. Batman is shot once, while Catwoman's hit four times, miraculously only getting hit in the limbs.
And now, why do we never shoot Batman in the head? Like, I don't want him to get shot.
I agree. I don't know.
I'm just like, that's clearly not protected.
But also, it's just the, like, the front part of his chest. Because Catwoman digs into his side.
And it's ripped
and it's to just shreds. Cotton.
Yeah.
It's just cotton?
That's just a t-shirt.
You know, just a little t-shirt material. While Shrek looks at his revolver in disbelief, she decides on a murder-suicide by putting her stun gun under Shrek's chin while poetically giving him a kiss of death.
So she's kissing. This part I thought was odd.
Yeah.
She, like, put her mouth up to his while she's doing the stun gun thing. Like, I think is it actually was, kissing?
I don't know.
It looked like it was, like, she's going to be affected by whatever's happening to him.
Oh, he's being, like, electrocuted. The idea where she's using a life on this.
Oh, she
using a life
because she gets nine lives.
She does,
yeah. Because when he keeps shooting her, she's like, "That's four, that's five."
Oh, funny. I was like, "Well, I guess she's counting. Guess she's having a nice time."
Okay, so
So simultaneously pulling a cable to a massive generator, causing an overload explosion. When the smoke clears, Batman searches the rubble for Selena, but all he finds is Shrek's blackened corpse.
Which is absurd.
It's funny.
Hilarious. When they pull that away and it's just
my
like
God.
Tales of the Crypt. Like,
it looks like a Crypt Keeper. Yeah.
It looked like when What's-His-Name gets electrocuted in Home Alone.
Yes.
Like, it was very funny to me.
Just eyes and
eyes and teeth.
It's terrifying to me as a child.
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine this whole
movie. It's also kind of like the shrunken head in Beetlejuice, which
I know. I know what a shrunken head is.
Yeah. But it's very Tim Burton.
Yeah.
You should watch Beetlejuice at Halloween time.
Okay.
You'll have fun.
I will. Penguin, barely alive, emerges from the toxic water and grabs his gun umbrella to kill Batman, but picks up his other umbrella by mistake. He finally falls dead on the floor. This part's gross, and his penguins nudge him back
in
the
water.
I know, when
he just slides in.
Yeah,
do you think that was really him just sinking into the water?
Yeah.
I was impressed by that as an actor. I was like, that's hard.
A lot of this was impressive because there wasn't really any CGI, I don't think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of practical elements.
I know, well, there's a couple moments that are almost like cartoon.
How much they get away with,
Like, there's, like, some faraway shots of, like, Catwoman or Batman, I can't remember what, but it's, like, it looks like a little cartoon almost, where that would have been CGI now. It's, like, a kind of a faraway shot. There were, like, two moments like that where I was like, oh, they had to kind of paint that literally. But everything else, I love when things are practical, which is partly why I like this so much, because it just feels better to watch. Like, I don't know,
it just looks better. It
works sucks
better.
You in more I don't than a lot of like Marvel stuff where it was like,
I agree, where it's all CGI and like, you're like,
yeah,
okay,
even the costume doesn't seem like it's really on them,
like,
or
this
something.
Wig looks
that's
wild.
The funniest thing about the Marvel ones, though, where you can see like they haven't decided what the helmet looks like yet. So, like in the behind the scenes footage, there's just dots on the face.
Yeah.
And then in the movie, it looks fine. But then whenever you see people wearing a replica, the head's like gigantic because you can't actually.
It was never really a thing.
Yeah.
Funny.
So, to wrap it up, driving through Gotham, Bruce sees Catwoman's shadow. Investigating, he only finds Selina's cat, Miss Kitty, which he decides to take home in memory of her. As the bat signal lights up in the sky, the figure of Catwoman appears looking at the signal from a rooftop.
Is it Miss Kitty? Because Miss Kitty's a tabby, right? And the cat that he picks up is black.
Yeah, it's more like the cat that like was licking her or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Batman fans say...
I think she had two cats.
She had two?
I feel like.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Okay, she probably did.
I could be wrong.
I'll believe you.
Yeah, I believe you.
I mean, okay. So yeah, I feel like it ending with her looking down made me feel like something was going to happen to her. Like we're going to get a Catwoman movie. I don't know if that ever happened.
Halle Berry is a Catwoman.
Yes.
Is that a movie about Catwoman?
Or yes.
Oh, okay, great.
But I haven't seen that either. Have you seen
that?
I have not seen it.
Are we watching it?
It's wrong genre, I guess, at that point. It's Catwoman genre.
But it's part of the Batman universe. Is Batman in Catwoman?
I don't think so.
Wow, she's got her own life.
Wow.
Halle Berry, that's probably good.
We can add it in.
Hey,
hey,
throw it in there.
Whatever.
Throw it on the pile. We're already watching all of them.
Okay, awards and reception. Batman Returns received 2 Oscar nominations, 1 for Best Makeup and 1 for Best Visual Effects.
That's
agree.
Good. Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer was nominated for Most Desirable Female. Jeez. Jesus Christ.
Well, it's kind of all I've been saying.
At the 1993 MTV Movie Awards, and Danny DeVito was nominated for Worst Supporting Actor,
what?
The 13th Golden Raspberry. I thought he was really great.
I'm sorry, that's so shitty. He's hilarious and
he's
amazing.
He's so good
and
really good.
Like, he makes me feel for that character.
He made me like the back end of the movie because he was featured so much.
Yeah. I agree. Crazy.
Wow.
At the box office.
Razzies have never been good, but whatever.
No, no.
Yeah.
They've nominated children, I think.
Yeah.
At the box office, Batman Returns was considered a disappointment as a sequel to the 1989 Batman, which was the 5th highest grossing film ever made.
Right. Wow. Like, it made a lot, but just not as much as the first one.
Oh.
So despite its PG-13 rating, parents at the time disliked Batman Returns' violent and sexualized content. I mean, there's a lot of like pussy jokes. There's like a lot of dirty stuff.
Again, Penguin's so horny.
Yeah. Which I liked. The studio
as a child, terrified me. I was like, I don't understand.
I don't want this.
Yeah.
The studio received thousands of complaint letters. Wow. McDonald's was criticized for its child-centered promotion and toys and discontinued its Batman Returns campaign in September 1992.
Wow.
Now, see, that's why I feel like it was so in my childhood. It was like, I'm eating McDonald's all the time, probably got all the fucking toys. And I guess it would, like, do we feel like Barbie is not for kids? And that it's not crude or anything, but it's like the ideas are a little over... heads.
Yeah, I think a kid would probably have a fine time with it, but you'd probably get more out of it as an adult, whereas this, like, it will scare your children.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
I think about, like, Clueless. I watched it as a kid.
You just didn't get
all
the jokes.
A lot of jokes went over my head, and then as an adult, I was like, that's actually a really great joke.
I know. I feel it's the same with this, where it's like, it's just kind of like, it's a dirty joke, but it's a play on words. Kids aren't going to understand that.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Kids are dumb.
Kids don't know.
That's the joy of being a kid.
Mm-hmm. Our segment is called No Wayne. Let's read some trivia from this film. So Burton had no interest in making a sequel to the successful Batman, believing that he was creatively restricted by the expectations of Warner Brothers. He agreed to return in exchange for significant creative control, including replacing original writer Sam Hamm, which, by the way, I saw that name and I was like, great name.
Yeah.
Great name, Sam Hamm.
With Daniel Waters and hiring many of his previous creative collaborators. I mean, I did think that the script was good, and I mean it's fun that he got more control.
Yeah, I did like this one more than the prior one. Danny DeVito remained in character as Penguin between takes. Take me off this
set. Get
that's
me off.
So
please.
Scary.
That's terrifying.
So he's walking up going, meh.
I hope so. His little grunts are my favorite thing.
But I guess you have to stay in your trailer if you're going to do this.
Isn't it weirder if he's just like, so you guys want some Doritos? Like, I don't know. Maybe it is weirder if he's just being himself.
I mean, maybe. But honestly... You can't be on set.
No, in between.
You gotta go.
Yeah, please hide. Yeah, please hide.
Just like imagine the getting lunch and he's just like
the we are. Get in your sewer. We want to see you. You little freak. So Michelle Pfeiffer said that her Catwoman costume was vacuum sealed.
God.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
Once she was fitted into it for scenes, so she could only perform for a short time before she needed to have it opened or she would become lightheaded and pass out.
Oh my God.
She also spent months training with a whip master and performed all the whip stunts herself.
I like that. That's
now,
very cool.
I don't want to be put into something where I can't pee.
Yeah.
I had to dress in a period costume once that was like with like corsets yeah. and like tight mm-hmm. layers and like all these different buttons and things. And it was really hard to go to the bathroom. And I couldn't eat anything because like the second you ate, it was like, boop, like you couldn't like mm-hmm. change your body at all.
Damn.
And it was really hard. And I felt very hungry and tired.
Aww.
I had to wear long fake yeah. nails for something and couldn't go to the bathroom because they were so long.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, all right, I guess I'll be dehydrated all day
yeah.
and hungry. Because I also couldn't eat with them. And they would like take them off at lunch, but then it would take so long to put them back on. I'd be like, I'll just take a nap yeah. with them on.
Damn. Yeah.
It was wild.
Being an actor is really hard.
It's so hard, you guys. And that's why we deserve residuals.
The production wanted to use king penguins, but the only tame ones in captivity were at a bird sanctuary in the Coswold Deep in the English countryside. So the birds were flown over to the States in a refrigerated hold of a plane.
What?
They were given their own refrigerated trailer and swimming pool with half a ton of fresh ice. That's why they fucking yeah, loved, they loved it there.
Fresh with ice every day?
Every day.
They don't get that in the wild.
No, they get old fucking ice. And they have fresh fish delivered daily straight from the dock. This
they
is
were
paradise.
In the lap of luxury.
Truly, yeah. This is a Hilton. even though the temperature outside frequently topped 100
Jesus
degrees,
Christ.
The entire set was refrigerated down to 35 degrees.
Oh, I don't like that.
Also, them birds had an around-the-clock bodyguard.
Oh, yes, wow. What a job.
Imagine having to go back home after that.
No.
And then wondering for the rest of your bird life if you're ever going to get a vacation like
and
that.
Everyone else was freezing for your sake,
yeah.
which I don't think is great. But I'm happy for the penguins. I just picture being really cold. Oh, that's crazy. They were flown from England. I love that.
How funny.
Well, okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will have more Batman Returns.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back. Holy Batman, Batman. In this new segment, we'll rate Michael Keaton on the definitive newcomers Batman scale. So we're going to use our phones, get this QR code, and we're going to rank Batman across five unique characteristics. Preparedness. How prepared is this Batman? Does he get to use his little gadgets and tools? Detective ability. Does this Batman get to be a little detective? Is he good at mystery solving? Voice graveliness. How gravelly is this Batman's voice? sadness, how lonely, brooding, or emo is this Batman? And finally, hotness slash horniness, how hot or horny is this Batman?
Okay.
Let's take a moment.
Okay, so it doesn't go to a new page with submit. It just does it. Okay, cool.
Okay, results are in.
Wow.
Preparedness, 81%. Detective ability, 77%. Voice graveliness, 44%. Sadness, 22.5%. Horniness or hotness, 83%.
Like, okay, I didn't feel like he was sad. I don't feel
no,
like
he wasn't sad
he's
at all.
He's perfectly fine with his life.
Yeah.
I think for me, I agree that overall he's not very sad. The sadness comes from, like, my old girlfriend broke up with me, and now that I know that my new girlfriend is maybe going to die or leave me. But at the same time, the movie's not really about him. I would say it's the Catwoman Time Ago movie.
It is right? more. It is more. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true. I feel like he's also we ranked his preparedness at 81%, which I mean he was very prepared.
Yeah.
But it's less like it's less like pointed out as other things. Like I feel like it's more just like he's there. He shows up. His car works. He fixes it. Whatever.
Like for a Batman movie, I think he's not in it as much as you would think he would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like. Very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about him when he reveals his head. He reveals himself to Shrek as well, which I thought was unnecessary.
I also thought it was
why are you showing Shrek who you are?
Yeah. And I think it was just like a nice coincidence that Selena kills him.
Yeah. I know. Like, we didn't know how that was going to go.
But wait, the way it ripped off was so wild to me. I was like,
it was like a piece of cheese.
Any old person could have ripped this off.
Yeah, you could just rip it. It was really weird. And it also looked kind of dumb when it was just around his neck like that.
Yeah.
It was just the high part. Yeah. Voice graveliness, I wouldn't say he's very gravelly.
No.
We ranked 44%. And hotness, horniness, 83%. I feel like we all agree
he's pretty hot.
Pretty hot.
And in one scene, I'm pretty sure he's like a Jerry curl. Like it was like very curly. And I was
what we considered hot at this point in time, because it's like sort of like Billy Crystal in When Harry Met Sally, where like, the hair is not good, but you're hot.
The hair?
Yeah. Like he has like, it's like feathered in the back.
Yes. And very SpongeBob shaped.
Yeah. It's not flattering, but.
No.
And also he's like balding here. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like all things that I think now you, like media would not allow for us to see.
It's sort of what you're saying about like, you just can't have that kind of character actor anymore. It's the same kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I miss that. I feel like.
Me too.
Why can't it just be an actor who's good and not have a six pack and have to look a certain way and all these. We are very obsessed now with our specific looks and styles men.
He is so hot. Just looking at this gif, like his cheekbones, he's
good.
He's
a very good looking man.
Structurally good looking, but in a more everyman
realistic way.
Yeah.
And I guess movies have like evolved to being like, oh, this is unreachable or like whatever.
Yeah.
Which is so peculiar to me because I'm like, oh, I find that hot. I watch a lot of movies from like the 80s or 90s where I'm like,
I know.
Only hair plugs.
There is a type of hotness now that like becomes not hot anymore where you see them and you're like, sure, they're beautiful, but I'm not sexually attracted
to them. It's sexless. Yeah.
That's like, Garrett Hedlund.
I don't know who that is.
He's in Tron. He's so hot, but like so hot that I'm like, I don't think I could talk to you. Let alone like, I don't know, like be anywhere near you? Like he's too pretty.
Well, yeah, I feel like with a Michael Keaton type, and right now we're watching this like repeating gif of him like standing up into the bat, like, and it's kind of making me tweak out a little bit, but he's like approachable hot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah,
and then
nice.
He's also dating like models in every movie. So
and I buy it.
Yeah.
I think I was when I was like reading up on this movie prior to this, it was also Michelle Pfeiffer apparently was up for the Vicky Vale part in the first movie.
Oh.
But it was when Michael Keaton was trying to get back with his ex-wife at that time, I think. And because he had dated Michelle Pfeiffer, he was like, she can't be in this movie because I'm trying to get back with my wife. But now she's in this, which is arguably like a more...
Yeah, it's way crazier.
Sexy role.
Yeah. Didn't get back with that wife and was like, fuck you.
Or
they got back together and he was like, trust me, babe.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
I'll be good.
We only kissed like once.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess with Kim Basinger, he had to like roll around a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really do that. Well, they have a pretty passionate makeout scene.
Yeah, but then they both stop themselves and like, we can't. We have to go put on our respective costumes and do shit.
Yeah, and pretend we're not.
I don't think about the romance in the first Batman at all. Whereas this, I'm like kissing, kissing, kissing. Yeah. Like that is the thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a lot, it like oozes sex, I feel much more. And of course, Penguin oozes as well.
Oh, you bet.
From his butt, I think. Okay, so it's time for our segment, Five Kapows, our reviews. Of course, we read reviews of our own podcast.
Because everybody loves us.
So this one is a 5-star review, of course. We're not going to read one lower than that. It's called Aaron Hates Everything. The only thing I listen to anymore, I don't know what it is, but this podcast truly brings out all of my serotonin. Aww. I've listened to every episode and have now started from the beginning again.
Oh.
I always consume everything Nicole puts out, and her chemistry with Lauren makes top-tier content that I will consume until my dying breath. I will literally listen to these two talk about anything. Seriously, they could cover golf, and I'd hang on to every word. I really hope we
my
do
God.
That.
Oh, my God. Lauren.
No, no, no. Don't get excited.
I truly just had a mental image of me, like, watching Tiger Woods being like, I guess his swing was good. And I was like, I'll walk right into traffic.
No, no. There's plenty more stuff to watch.
Oh, God. So,
it's true. There is a lot.
So many things I have not seen.
Yeah.
Okay. So in addition of Apple reviews, we're also going to be reading reviews from Letterboxd. Also, we're going to give each film a 1-sentence and star rating. And if you don't know, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of films. You can follow newcomers on Letterboxd at newcomers.
Oh, nice.
This review says by...
Are you on Letterboxd?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
That would make sense.
Thank you.
This is from Adam Bolt. How can anyone find Catwoman attractive when Danny DeVito is right there? Adam, you got to go to therapy.
And we've got 4 stars from Lily. Hashtag make comic book films horny again.
I agree. Yeah. The Marvel ones are devoid of like sex.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
So what's a 1-sentence review you would give this film? Whoever wants to go first, whoever feels right.
Okay. I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Nice.
I'm going to say, beginning of the movie, unnecessary. Back in the movie, fun, fun, fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, Karen?
This is a 5-star movie for me. I love it pretty unabashedly. 1-sentence review, I always find this hard to do, so I'll give me a second.
Mine aren't always 1-sentence. I just ramble a lot until...
sometimes paragraphs, even haikus, if you will.
Okay, I'll throw it out. I would say I'm going to give this 4.5 stars.
Okay.
I really like this movie. That's not my review. Michael Keaton, hottest Batman I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Better than, who's the other one?
Yeah, that guy.
Adam West.
Oh, yeah, I said that guy. Yeah, he's extremely famous.
That guy.
Adam was great, but not competition, I would say.
Yeah.
Hottest Batman I've seen. Catwoman oozes sex appeal. Penguin just oozes. That'll be my review.
Penguin should have won his mayoral campaign. You're angry about that. Yeah.
I feel like he just should have been mayor, but yeah.
Wait, Karen, what's your favorite part of the movie since you love it so much? That sounded pointed. Since you love it so much.
Can you name 5 albums by Batman Returns? No, it's probably Danny DeVito. Like, I think his performance is so good, where it's like the character's so gross, but I want to see more of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also all of the like sort of Elephant Man adjacent stuff where he's like, I am a human. And then when they're like, we don't like you anymore, he's like, I'm not a human. Fuck
you.
Yeah. It's full of pathos for a character that could easily be very comic, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I love
pathos.
That character.
Spell that.
She doesn't have to. So please, out there, everyone listening, please write a review of our podcast on Apple Podcasts, because we'll pick one to read on the next episode. And you can rate us on Spotify, which just takes 2 seconds, just pressing the stars. And we want all of them.
Give me all the stars.
Karen, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Not in particular. As you said, I published a book, Bong Joon-ho. Oh my God, I can't say it.
I love that you messed it up so that I wasn't the only one.
Bong Joon-ho, Distant Cinema from Abrams and Little White Lies. It came out in November of last year and is around now for
amazing.
You to purchase and read.
Congrats. That's like a huge accomplishment.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My SEO is really terrible, as you're about to see, which is my Twitter is Karen Y. Han, Instagram, The Karen Han, and then on Blue Sky, I'm Karen Han. So none of them are the same.
Okay, are you liking Blue Sky?
What's Blue Sky?
It's nice.
Like a new Twitter.
Yeah, it's my Jack Dorsey, like the guy who originally made Twitter, I believe. And it's
he
nice.
He should have just named it Twitter because Twitter's now X.
I know.
That's true. It's so stupid.
I deleted my Twitter, which was shockingly easy. I've been on there since 2008 and I was like, I'll never ever leave. And then I just one day I was like, bye, and it was fine. But whenever someone like sends me a tweet and I click through and it's like X, and you're like, watch the X on the screen for a second and then it comes. I'm like, this is like not user friendly.
No.
But then everyone's joining Blue Sky and you need an invitation and stuff, right? Or maybe not anymore.
Oh. I have a couple if you want to
well,
be
Well, I don't know if anyway. I want
to
be
I don't know if I need to learn another thing.
But it is nice. It does feel like early Twitter in so much as again there's so many fewer. I don't know if I'm saying this right.
Yeah.
There's less people on it. Yeah. It's just smaller.
That's better.
A lot of the trolls haven't gotten on there yet,
well,
which I think
is what Twitter was always great. You know, it was always great. It was the just being able to like post jokes or like whatever you want, just like some information.
It's like, I just want to be shitposting and then get like hurricane alerts.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back next week with Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Like guys keep talking about. And we'll see you then.
Bye.
Thanks, Karen. Thank you. Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Konevskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Manchi, who also composed our theme song. Follow us on Letterboxd at Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Na 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 bye!
That was a HeadGum Original.